present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome again to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show which does for entertaining panel games what being hit repeatedly on the head with a large croquet mallet does for small frogs. Or so I'm told. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our regular teams of, on my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And would you finally welcome, with a face to launch 1,000 rockets, our scorer, Samantha. We're going to start off with a round called translations. In this round, I shall provide the teams with some obscure foreign words or phrases which I'd like them to translate. Tim now, bona fide.
Good dog.
Barry, droit de seigneur.
The gents is on the right.
Willie, here's yours, creche.
A car accident in Woking.
Graham.
Also say Bing.
Graham, après ski.
Plaster of Paris. Or I've finished the yogurt.
Tim, fin de siècle.
Fin de siècle. Cycling enthusiast.
Barry, how about this one for you? Carpe diem.
Fish of the day.
Willie, one right up your street now. B-Day.
Right. 2 days before D-Day. Hence the old song. Ah, B-Day's here again.
Graham, finally, magnum opus.
Magnum opus. A big Irish cat.
That was fun. Has anybody got any more?
Avant-garde. Next to last coach on the train.
Non compos mentis. I don't think that's meant to be fertilizer.
Sub judice, the Israeli underground system.
Après nous le déluge, the lavatory's blocked.
Okay, our next round is entitled Singing Relay, in which teams, I'd like you please to sing a well-known song, but taking alternate words between you. You'll be accompanied by Colin Sell on the piano. Incidentally, new listeners to the program may be interested to know that Colin Sell was a member of several pop groups in the 60s and 70s, some of which became quite well known after he'd left them. There was Colin and Garfunkel, Dave, D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick, Titch and Colin, the Electric Light Piano, and perhaps most interestingly, the Jackson 6. Anyway, on with the round now. Tim and Willie, what round are we playing, by the way? Hang on a minute. Your song is the Deadwood Stage.
Oh, the Deadwood Stage is rolling on over the place.
with the curtains flapping and the driver slapping the reins.
Beautiful day,
wonderful
day.
Whip that way,
whip away,
whip that way. Oh, the Deadwood stage is a head over the hills, where the engine arrows are thicker than concrete. Dangerous land, no time to delay. Whip crack away,
whip crack away,
whip crack away.
Okay, Barry and Graham, your song is If My Friends Could See Me Now.
Must.
If they could see me now, my little dusty group, traipsing round this million-dollar chicken coop, I'd hear those thrift shop cats say, brother, get her drape on a bedspread made from three kinds of fur. All I can say is, wow, wait till the riff and raff see just exactly how he signed this autograph. What a build up! Holy hell! They'd never believe it if my friends could see me now.
Oh, I've enjoyed myself for the first time in 20 years. Let's do it again. Teams, I'm going to introduce the team round now called commentaries. In it, I shall ask each team member to provide a commentary on a particular historical event, but in the style of my choosing. Tim, you're going to start this one. World War II in the style of a parish magazine.
Last Saturday, Mr. Chamberlain, reading from a piece of paper, introduced Mr. Hitler, who kindly opened the proceedings with an amusing speech or two and an impromptu invasion of Poland. Later, Mr. Churchill, standing in for Mr. Chamberlain, organised some games on the beaches and was particularly fulsome in his praise of the few who took part in the aerial display. The WI, as usual, did a splendid job feeding 50 million and their spam store was a great success. Winners included Dame Mara Hess, dried egg and spoon race, Charles de Gaulle, potato most like its owner, and Mussolini's silliest walk. And, as usual, everyone sat on the greasy poles. Mention should be made of some Americans who appeared rather late in the afternoon to help clear up. The vicar finally thanked everyone for taking part and fervently hoped this event would not take place ever again.
Barry.
What?
I want you to do the Charge of the Light Brigade in the style of Murray Walker.
And here in the valley of death, there's 600 are lined up waiting for the flag. Lord Raglan in pole position, Lord Cardigan in the McLaren, and Nigel Mansell nowhere near born yet. The Cannon Williams volley and thunder, louder and louder, which reminds me, have you seen Nicky lately, James?
No, Murray.
Thank you, James, and they're off. I can see Raglan signalling to Cardigan, pull over. What a sensational start. Meow, meow, meow. That's me making those noises. Because there are no cars here. I'd like a...
two voices, not a penny extra. I'd like a pee, please, Bob.
Thank you, James. And they are dead, hundreds of them, but there's no way Cardigan will fall off his horse. Oh, he's fallen off his horse!
Right, now, Willie, here's one for you. Will you please describe the beheading of Charles I in the style of an agony aunt?
Dear Charles I... It is, of course, so easy to be wise after the event.
Though, of course, given the event, in your case, the reverse is probably true. When the head is severed from the body, wisdom tends to go straight out of the window. How sensible of you, though, to take my advice and wear three shirts. It was foolish of you, however, to ignore my best suggestion, not to turn up. So you were pig ignorant before and during the event, and even more so afterwards. But then again, you have a descendant of the same name who talks to lupins. And he's constantly writing to me, "What a family, love, Auntie Will."
And finally, Graham Garden, the Fire of London, in the style of a Radio 4 continuity announcer.
Well, now, before the next program, here is a road traffic report. The fire, which started late last night in Pudding Lane, is still out of control and now covers most of the city of London. And speaking of the city, you can hear an extended version of Money Box with Louise Botting and Vincent Duggleby at 11:30 on Monday morning. With thousands of Londoners fleeing from the blaze, the roads leading out of the city are at a standstill, with tailbacks stretching right out to the Hanger Lane gyratory system. Well, St. Paul's Cathedral may have gone up in smoke, but there are some glum faces at Brookfield Farm.
Okay, teams, now here's a cultural round. With its many strange historical customs and traditions, Britain must at times appear a puzzling place for first-time visitors to these shores. In this next round, teams, I'd like you please to act as tour guides around a particular item of British heritage to an assorted group of inexperienced foreign tourists. We're going to start with you, Willie and Tim. Will you please give a tour of the British Museum.
The lips gone. When you enter the reading room, there will be a hushed sense of expectancy, so perhaps you'd like to sing your favourite national song, and when they want you to sing a little bit louder, they'll go, shh.
A useful phrase for those whose English is no use at all, when in the reading room, is, "Ear cock, where's the filthy stuff?" We also have one of the largest collections of Egyptian mummies in the world. Please take one.
I'm now going up to one of the attendants here. You can just ask him how to play Elgin Marbles. He'll show you.
Here is the Rosetta Stone.
Oh, so it is.
You won't believe, when you try it out with two or three friends, just how high it bounces.
And now, if you'd like to show your backing for democracy, perhaps you'd like to add your signature to the Magna Carta.
They've all gone now.
Right, Barry and Graham now. Will you please give us a tour of Madame Tussauds?
Well, could you ask your wife to move about a bit, sir? We're stock taking. Now.
Enjoy a hilarious blindfold game of pin the eyelashes on Barbara Cartland.
Now, the Duchess of York isn't in here, madam. We've melted her down to make Shakespeare's sister.
Interested in DIY? Why not rearrange Michael Jackson?
I don't know, sir. It's either Ringo Starr or Yasser Arafat. I don't know.
Kindly refrain from hanging your hats on the Chippendales exhibit.
Is that it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
More than somewhat.
Now to a round which takes as its subject those delightful rhymes we were all taught in the nursery. Though many of these rhymes may appear to us today as little more than nonsense, they are in fact full of useful tips for the age in which they were written. One such rhyme, for example, is a stern warning against the consequences of placing sleeping babies in the upper branches of trees during windy weather. Another paints a disturbing picture of domestic life in a shoe for a single parent with too many children. Teams, I'd like you please to suggest some suitable amendments to well-known nursery rhymes to make them more relevant to life as we know it today. Barry.
Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck and the mouse came out in sympathy.
Willie.
Little Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get a poor dog a bone. When she got there, the cupboard was bare, so she fitted a mobile phone.
The modern version of that would be Mother Teresa went to the freezer.
Graham, have you got anything to say?
Yes, I have, Humph.
Oh, good.
There was a crooked man, and he walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat, which caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together till he fell off his yacht.
I'm the king of the castle, and you're a dirty rascal. I'm a big fat banker, and you're a little customer.
Simple Simon wore a Walkman going to the fair. Said Simple Simon to the pieman, "What?"
Wee Willie Winkie runs through the town, upstairs and downstairs in his nightgown, in and out of houses and along seaside piers, and when they finally catch him, he should get 10 years.
Sing a song of £483,000.
Half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle. Whoops, I've spilt them on your head. I'm Jeremy Beadle.
Oh, dear.
No more? Okay, well, let's go on now. Our next round is a musical one in which I'd like you teams to intone the lyrical refrain of one particular vocal composition while simultaneously pursuing the melodic line of a dissimilar piece. In other words, one song to the tune of another. You can use Colin Sell if you think it'll be of any help. You might even ask him to accompany you on the piano. Tim.
Oh, hello.
You're going to sing the words of She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain to the tune of Dance of the Hours.
Less, less.
She'll be coming round the mountain. When she comes, she'll be coming round the mountain. When she comes, she'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. When she comes, singing aye-aye, yippee-yippee. I singing aye-aye, yippee-yippee. I singing aye-aye, yippee-aye.
Over to you now, Willie, with the words of Mersey Doats and Dozy Doats to the tune of There'll Be Bluebirds Over the White Cliffs of Dover.
Mersey Doats and Dozy Doats and little lambs and dive me a kiddly. Dive me to, wouldn't you? Yes, Mersey Doats and Dozy
brings it all back, doesn't it? Graham, now, will you sing the words of I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts to the tune of the theme from Swan Lake?
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what the showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me rich. There stands me wife, the idol of me life, singing roll a ball, a ball, a penny, a peach. That's enough of that.
Barry, now you're going to sing the words of Elvis's Love Me Tender to the theme tune from The Archers.
Love me tender, love me sweet. Never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true. All my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Do you think a jacuzzi's Bible, Caroline?
Right, with all to play for, we go on to a game called Close Quotes. I shall give you, each of you, the first half of a well-known saying or quotation, which I'd like you to complete. Points will be deducted for correct answers. Tim, you're going to start this one, flushed with success. Pride comes before a...
Pride comes before... of lions.
Didn't understand that. Barry, here's yours. Blood is thicker than...
caliber.
Graham, now, if you want a thing done well...
leave it in the microwave overnight. Very true.
Willie, if the mountain will not come to Muhammad...
they'll probably slap a fatwa on it.
I'd like to disassociate myself from that.
I wasn't even here.
Hey, Tim, here's another one for you. A swarm of bees in May is worth a load of hay, but a swarm in July...
isn't.
Barry, will you complete Too Many Cooks?
On television.
Graham, cleanliness is next to...
impossible.
And finally, Willie, Rome was not built in...
Norway.
Anyway, I'll throw it open now. Anybody got any more?
One swallow does not make an orgy.
There's no smoke without flatulence.
Give a thief enough rope and he'll run off with it.
When the cat's away, the mice will use the flap.
If you can't beat 'em, what's the point of teaching?
Okay, any more? Right. Now we have a round...
You'll have no fury like Mrs. Bradley of 43 the Glebe Orchid.
Anyway, that's nearly all for this week. It's just time, I think, for a swift round of Ornithologist Film Club. Teams, I'd like you, please, to suggest some films likely to be popular with an audience of bird watchers. And Barry, we're going to start with you.
The Outlaw Josie Quails. 9½ Beaks.
The Forbidden Gannet. All Quiet on the Crested Grebe. Dan Quayle in Cuckoo's Talking.
Sean Canary in License to Trill.
Back to the Vulture.
There's a Gull in My Soup.
Turn of the Screw.
The Maltese Ptarmigan.
Duck Tracy.
Moby Tit.
Waders of the Lost Ark.
The Sound of E-Music.
Musical vein, Cole Porter's Anything Goose.
Another musical, The Merry Widgeon.
Pied Wagtails of the Unexpected.
Steve McQueen in Pull It.
Hudson Hawk. That was a real turkey.
Oh, what a lovely warbler. The Last of the Red Hot Plovers.
Nightjar on Elm Street. My Left Coot. And anything starring Joan Collins. Apparently she's seen a cockatoo.
All right, that's all we have time for. Join us again next time from all of us here. Goodbye.
Tim Brooke-Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sells setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.